Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. The prince of this world will now be cast out. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
When Jesus had driven out a demon, some of the crowd said, "By the power of Beelzebul, the prince of demons, he drives out demons." Others, to test him, asked him for a sign from heaven, and he knew their thoughts and said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself will be laid waste, and the house will fall against house. And if Satan is divided against himself, then how will his kingdom stand? For you say that it is by Beelzebul that I drive out demons. If I then drive out demons by Beelzebul, then by whom do your own people drive them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that I drive out demons, then the kingdom of God is already come upon you. When a strong man fully armed guards his palace, his possessions are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks and overcomes him, he takes away the armor on which he relied and then distributes the spoils. Whoever is not with me is against me. Whoever does not gather with me scatters. When an unclean spirit goes out of someone, it roams through the arid region searching for rest, but finding none, it says, 'I shall return to my home from which I came.' But upon returning, it finds it swept clean and put in good order. Then it goes and brings back 7 other spirits more wicked than itself, who move in there and dwell. And the last condition of that man is worse than the first." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So, the Gospels, of course, are read in context, and that's important. So in order to make sense of what's happening today, you have to see what happened yesterday. Yesterday, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He says, "Suppose one of you has a friend who comes in the middle of the night and says, 'Let me in. I need a loaf of bread because somebody's just come to my house.'" And he says, you're going to wind up giving it to him eventually because of his persistence, because he's annoying you in the middle of the night, right? And then he makes the promise, "Ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door shall be open." See, the door in question is literally the door of your house that your buddy's been knocking on in the middle of the night. While he's giving this discourse, while he's talking to his own people, the others come up. "You drove out a demon. By demons do you drive out demons. The power of evil is what gives you the power to drive out evil." And Jesus says, that doesn't make any sense, because your own people drive out demons too. So are they possessed also, or what's happening here? And then he shifts into what are not so much parables, so the way like the Good Samaritan or the wedding feast or something like that works, but kind of extended metaphors. "When a strong man, fully armed, guards his palace, his possessions are safe." So, when you're ready, your stuff's okay. But when one stronger than he attacks and overcomes him, then he not only takes his stuff, but he makes use of the very weapon that the guy was trying to use against him. Then he goes on with the geography of the demon, right? So when we drive an unclean spirit out, it wanders around for a while and then tries to come back. But it can't get back in because the place is now too well put together. And so it has to go get 7 more in order to take up residence. I don't think it's probably reasonable to presume that Jesus is trying to give us sort of a handbook on how demons operate, so much as a handbook on how we experience evil in our lives. It's real easy. You guys know this as well as anybody. You get rid of one vice, you get rid of one bad habit, you get rid of one problem, and another one slips right in. And you spend all your time and all your energy trying to get rid of that one thing that's really messing your life up actively right this moment, so much so that you don't notice when the other ones come in the back door. And then, when you do fall off the wagon, when something happens that lets that one that you were paying all the attention to come back in, it's all done. 15 other things come crashing down with it. This isn't only metaphorical, though it is probably that. It's also about our relationship with the spiritual world. And because there's a kind of equality at work here, good things operate the same way, which is why you never simply get rid of a vice without replacing it with the contrary virtue. You don't simply get rid of lust and move into a position of like sexual neutrality. You actually develop chastity. You don't simply get rid of gluttony. You develop the virtue of temperance. You learn how to eat properly, right? And likewise in our relationships, you don't simply get rid of one bad pattern. You actually develop new, good, and healthy patterns of relating to one another. Once you've done that, the house is well fortified, you are armed, and so that enemy who looked so much stronger is not going to be able to get in. The Mass I'm offering today is the votive Mass of the Holy Cross. It basically just means, on Fridays in particular, the Church draws our attention to the cross, to the mystery of the Lord's Passion. And it's because in this moment, where the God-man seems so vulnerable, where he seems least godly, he's exercising the most power. Where he seems most put upon, where his passions would have the most ability to spin out of control, he's most in control. And it's a sign for all of us who struggle with different coping mechanisms during suffering that it is possible, it really is possible for what we say here to come true and for us likewise to reign, even from the cross.